Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 60 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts.
Tony.
And I am Lou. And as you know, we have been on a little bit of a hiatus here. And Tony, if you want to say a few words about that.
Sure. As I mentioned in our last episode, my father was pretty sick. And since then, he has passed. And first of all, I want to thank everyone who sent their support. Those kind words and warm wishes certainly helped in a tough time. But, you know, he was in a lot of pain and suffering for a while, and now he's no longer suffering and he's in a better place. So, yeah, that's all I'll say.
And of course, we wish you and your family the best.
Thank you.
And I'd just like to remind everybody, including those of you who kept in touch during the last couple of weeks, to visit us on Facebook, where you can become a fan. And don't forget to send your emails to us at podcast@pause.com. We still love getting those. And as a matter of fact, we will start off by talking about a couple of emails that we've gotten. Our listener, Oliver, asked for our opinion on an article on NPR's website written by somebody named Laura Seidel about how the iPad is the harbinger of death for the internet itself.
Now, you know that Lou's going to rip on her when he says that she's somebody named Laura Seidel.
This so-called Laura Seidel, if that really is her name. Now, Laura, I don't know what your deal is, who you are,
but you're
where you've come
to
from.
Get a whooping right here.
But you're a moron. Okay, just so you know, Laura, the iPad, just like the iPhone and the iTouch, uses the internet to power all of those apps that it runs. So the point of her article was that because it's Apple's closed system and that they have to approve everything, that, you know, the internet is dead as far as we know it, because you're not going to be able to just go and do whatever you want. Okay, there's a web browser on the iPad.
Right.
The web browser needs the web to operate. And most of those, any kind of application that has a big database of stuff, whether it's IMDb or you know, whatever, any movie, anything,
Netflix,
it all goes through the internet to get to that thing. So unless they take the web browser out of the equation, what you're saying makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Right. In addition to that, though you think Apple may rule the computer world, there are more computers in the world running Windows than there are cars in the world. So to just assume that Apple rules everything and one day Microsoft and PCs will be dead is...
Oh, there's also this little thing that I don't know if she's heard of this, but it's called Google. So, yeah, maybe consider that next time before you write an article like that.
So-called Laura Seidel.
So, yeah, you might want to dust off the crack pipe for your next article. So anyway, thank you, Oliver, for pointing us in the direction of that very amusing article on NPR's website.
We also got a letter from Dave H., and he says he's glad to hear that we're back, and he wants to know what we use in regards to equipment. Mic, editing software, and how long do we spend on post-production?
The podcast is recorded... Wait a minute. Dave, you're not going to steal our secrets, are you? Go compete against us.
What secrets?
The secrets I'm about to tell you. We record this on an HP laptop. It's just a regular laptop. You don't need any kind of special computer for this. And I would definitely recommend that you...
Not an iPad. You can't use an iPad.
No, you can't use an iPad. No. You can't do this on an iPad.
So there you go,
work.
Laura Seidel.
So it's just get something with decent power. I mean, it doesn't have to be the top of the line, but don't get the cheapest thing they make either. And I would definitely recommend at least, 4 to 8 gigs of RAM in whatever you're going to use for recording. But then we run Adobe Audition, which is what we record in, and also what I use to edit it down when we're done. The audio interface that we use is a Lexicon Lambda, and I like it. We've never had any trouble with it, but I think I'm going to replace it because it's only got 2 XLR inputs, which are the microphone inputs. And when we have people who are guests on the show, it makes it really difficult because it's, if we want to have a third microphone here, we have to set up a mixer and then go through that, and it just becomes kind of a pain.
And Lou is very hoggy on the mic.
Right. So like when we did that episode where Todd did the whole podcast with us, Tony and I shared a mic, which was not good.
No, because Lou's very hoggy.
I hogged the mic, and then Tony felt like he couldn't get a word in edgewise, but whatever.
but that's neither here nor there.
Right. So I think we're going to replace this with a USB interface that has 4 mic inputs instead of just the 2. And again, it's a USB interface, so it just connects to the laptop with a USB cable. You don't need any crazy anything. And then we have the mics that we use are different. Mine is a Studio Projects. I forget the model number, but Tony's is a Rode. And
it's R-O-D-E.
Yeah, R-O-D-E. I think it's like a C1000 or something like that.
It's an NT1000.
NT1000. I was close. Mine's like a C303 or I don't know. I can't remember the model name. But I like this Studio Projects mic. It's a pretty good mic. And your sounds good too. They both sound good.
Yeah.
And then we're actually sitting just at a conference table in my office. So there's no special audio, you know, treatment of this space that we're in. And I think if you have decent mics and you're, as long as you're not in a room that's super echoey, you should be okay.
Right.
So.
And I'm wearing, he's wearing tennis shoes.
A foam suit.
Yeah. Oh, right. But that's just for comfort. It has nothing to do with the podcast.
Right. Right.
We have one more. Okay. From Stritch. Stritch asks, putting aside RL, which we assume is real life.
Yes.
Do you guys see putting on the podcast with the same regularity as you have, or should we expect less frequent shows? We miss you guys.
Aw, thank you,
Stritch. Yeah, that's very nice. And no, from this point on, we're going to try to be as regular as we were before.
Yeah. I mean, which wasn't always regular anyway, but at least it was pretty much weekly.
Right. And we're going to try to get back to that. I mean, now that, you know, my life has kind of settled down a bit and I'm getting back into my normal routine, this will become easier to do.
Yeah. Yeah. We never really had any intention of slowing down in general. It's just that obviously, you know, real life has to take precedence in certain cases. So,
right.
But thank you very much. That's a very nice mail and a very nice question. And so with that, we will move on to video games. What would you like to talk about first?
Well, I mean, obviously I haven't had a lot of time, so, I don't have a lot to talk about today, but I will mention that I did try the Splinter Cell Conviction demo on 360, and it's pretty cool.
Now, are you a big fan of the Tom Clancy games in general?
I really like the Splinter Cell games. The first one I absolutely loved, and then and I liked all of them. There was one of them I didn't care much for. I think it was the last one before this.
Yeah.
Chaos Theory, it may have been.
Okay. I've never played any of them.
But this one's really cool.
Yeah.
It was a couple of weeks ago when I tried it, but it just is really cool. One cool thing it does is when it's giving you hints of like things to do, rather than something popping up on the screen, you'll see like this projection on the wall.
Okay.
So like, you know, in the actual room you're in, it'll tell you like, you know, this is what you're looking for. Yeah, it's very cool.
That is neat.
And I like the way it handles. I always liked in the Splinter Cell games, the way it handles the stealth, because in a lot of, you know, it's not as twitchy as some other stealth games where, you know, if you step into the light, you're screwed.
Right.
And there's usually, you know, a number of ways to deal with something stealthily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever play any of those Hitman games?
No. I tried to play the first one and I didn't really like the mechanics of it.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to this.
Wasn't that one of the first games where you got to use like a bullet time kind of thing? Or am I thinking of the wrong thing?
You're thinking of Max Payne.
Really?
Well, I know you use bullet time in Max Payne, so I don't know.
But not in Hitman?
I don't remember.
By the way, did you ever see the Hitman movie?
No.
Oh my gosh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
So bad.
So is the Max Payne movie. It was on cable not too long ago, and I caught a little of it, and it was
I didn't remember who was in horrendous. That one. Who was
Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, it was Mark Wahlberg. Yeah. Okay. Well, I do associate him with Maximum Pain in many ways. So that was good casting, at least. Yeah, well, a couple weeks ago, you sent me an email about how Steam was selling Borderlands for half price.
Right.
So I picked it up through Steam and I started playing it and it is really cool. I mean, in some ways it does remind me a little bit of like, what was the Bethesda game?
Diablo?
No, the post-apocalyptic.
Fallout?
Yeah, Fallout.
Really?
In some ways, because, you know, it's, again, kind of a wasteland sort of thing, and it's first-person action.
You don't have to go talk to people and, you know.
Well, you do to get your quests. I mean, you can just skip past them, but.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's one little blurb.
Right.
I mean, it's not like you have to have a conversation. You know, in Fallout, you have to have conversations.
Yeah, right. No, you're right. So there's none of that. But, and it's interesting because, you know, it is very stylistic. You know, it's almost like a motion comic.
Right.
In the way that it's done visually.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty cool. And it's very easy to get into. So that's, you know, a big plus in my book. The one thing that I have to say that I'm not crazy about is just having purchased it through Steam. It's like, I don't like not having the manual or something to just like look at as I'm getting into it.
Right.
Because I tend to forget, you know, some of the things. And then you just want to know what some of the keyboard commands are without having to go through, you know, pause the game, go into the options and settings and keyboard settings and find all that stuff. And again, it definitely looks like one
Can't you do like a screen capture of that and then print it and then have that to your side?
Well, I could, but you know, we're in the middle of playing a game. You don't really want to go through that process.
Right. But you only have to go through that process once.
I know. I just didn't want
to. So which of the characters did you do?
I did the chick, I think.
The chick?
Yeah.
So she's the one that like can turn invisible or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. She has like a stealth
mode. Oh, I'm anxious to hear how that... Have you gotten to the point where you've acquired that
power? No, I haven't played it long enough to do that. I think you have to get to like level 10 or something.
I don't even think it's that high.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And there's certain things that I found a little bit quirky, like, you know, there's a store that shows up on the map, you know, the stores show up with a little dollar sign, and there's a store that showed up on the map and there was nothing there.
Where, it hasn't opened yet.
Yeah, but it shouldn't show it on the map then.
You'll also find that there's an area where, you know, it shows a little exclamation point where you pick up your quests.
Right.
And you'll find in that first area you're in, you'll find that there's a on the map an icon where you can get quests there.
Okay.
But it's a glitch. There's nothing there.
Oh, really?
And I spent hours. And then I went online and saw that, like, you know.
Oh.
It's a glitch. There's nothing there.
Well, there's a guy in a little building.
Yeah. Who... No, this is off.
Oh, off to the side. Okay.
I'll show you on a map.
Yeah.
We'll look for the map.
And you know, the other thing that I'm not crazy about is, and this is something I've found in a number of games, is that... It's not always clear from the way the interface is designed when first of all, the interface to switch weapons I find extremely confusing.
Yeah.
Like you pick a weapon and then you pick a slot.
Right.
And then you click something else and it swaps out what was in the slot for the other weapon that you picked. And it never shows a complete list of weapons. It shows the ones you don't have equipped and then it shows the two that you do have equipped in the equipped slots.
Right.
And they're all like color coded somehow. And I think the color coding has to do with which ones are better than the other ones. But
no, you know what the color coding is how rare they are.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
If you find one, I believe purple is the rarest.
Okay.
So if you find one, and you know, those are usually the better ones.
Yeah.
As you play through, I mean, I know it's a little frustrating at first because, you know, your weapons are terrible at the beginning, but it's really cool as you get like
better ones
and you get like, you know, one that shoots like an electrical charge and
yeah,
like kills a skag just immediately or kills a bunch of things in one area.
Yeah. Are the skags the little animals?
The little dogs.
Yeah, I don't like those things. Yeah. They're kind of
But later you'll get, you know, fairly soon you'll get weapons where you just like just one shot and it blows them up. Yeah.
Yeah, but that whole thing of like trying to figure out which weapon do I want to use? It's like I have no idea based on what I'm looking
at
on
the
screen.
No, you don't. You'll get used to it.
And it looks like it has little indicators like, you know, this weapon is, you know, 17 more than this other one in terms of this stat. But I guess the problem that I have in games like that is if they're going to go as far as telling you the stats of things and even showing you which ones are better, just highlight the best weapon you have.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But, I mean, you'll get to a point where certain weapons are better for certain things.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess that's the reason why there's no just, like, cut and dry, this is the best weapon kind of thing.
Right.
But
it'll
so
be
I
really
find
cool
whole...
later when you find guns that have elemental powers, like one that shoots fire or one that shoots, you know, like, electrical charges and that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. But it's pretty cool. I do like it so far. I just haven't had a chance to play
it. I love
it.
I got to get back into That's a game I've really missed since I haven't been playing for a while.
And I do think that if you get back into World of Warcraft, I do think you'll find it to be one of the most fun games you've ever played.
Right. You know, I actually tried to play the other day, and I had already forgotten like how to do certain things, so I've got to really like...
Because, again, you have not even gotten out of the starting area.
Yeah.
And the game is just so massive, and it's so much fun, and there's so much to do that I think you'll really enjoy it. And it's the same kind of thing where I will say, you know, I've done a lot of comparisons between Guild Wars and World of Warcraft. And I will say that I think Guild Wars has a more compelling story. Like, I always felt like I was part of the story, whereas in World of Warcraft, you don't really need to read any of the quest text.
Right.
You can just, you know, go do your quests.
Right.
But I think from that standpoint, you'll like it because you don't have to read anything really if you don't want to. But it's really a lot of fun. There's just so much to do. So that's the only new thing that I've played. You want to talk about miscellaneous?
Sure. Assassin's Creed 2 just earned a Guinness World Record. The game has been featured on more magazine covers than any other game in history.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
Like, even then Pac-Man?
Apparently.
That seems impossible to me.
I know.
Wow. That's weird. Well, congratulations, I guess.
Electronic musician Ochre revealed that there is a Little Big Planet 2 in production by tweeting that some of his music will be featured in the game. Sony has neither confirmed nor denied, so let's see if his music will, in fact, be included in the game.
After leaking that one.
Right.
This is like the leaks episode of...
Yeah, because we got some big leak news.
Big leak news later.
Later.
That's pretty funny.
And
you know what's really neat is... I know I talked to you about this personally, but in the original Bejeweled... Is it 2? Bejeweled 2, right?
I don't know.
Is that the one that came out? Well, wait.
That's the one I have on my phone.
That's the one that came out before Bejeweled Twist, right?
Right.
Okay. So, there's this music that runs during the whole background of that game. It's like a 30-minute soundtrack. There's just one continuous song. And it was written by some guy like in Sweden or Norway or something like that. And it's really...
It's the pop music capital of the world.
That's what I hear. Yeah. And it's this really, self-described cheesy 80s synth music.
Right.
But I like it when these game publishers do stuff like that and take, music from these unknown people that just, it almost seems incidental, but it actually adds a ton to the game. And right. I don't know what the music is like in Little Big Planet, if you liked it or whatever, or if you even noticed it. But I like it when publishers do that.
Yeah, well, let's see if they actually do that with
this guy may be out of a job right now.
Lastly, 41-year-old locksmith John McAllister has broken the 28-year-old Asteroids high score. John's final score was 41,336,440, and it took him 58 hours.
Now, I'm assuming, since it took him 58 hours, that he was playing on the original Asteroids that had the glitch in it, right?
Oh, that I don't know. I didn't know.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
The original version of Asteroids had a glitch in it where there was a place where you could sit on the screen where nothing ever crossed that place. So you could just sit there and shoot and fire and nothing would ever hit you.
Oh.
Which almost seems then like a cheat.
Oh, now I want to research and find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that shouldn't even really count then.
I agree. But how can you play a game more than 2 days?
Right. Well, it said that he did. That he played for 58 hours continuously.
That's insanity. How could you stay awake long enough to play a game for
58
hours?
Then there was a joke
hours?
In the article, because I mentioned that he was a locksmith, that there were many people who were locked out of their houses while he was doing this.
I like that. That's good. And I think that's all we have for video game news, yeah. Right? Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about TV. And where would you like to begin?
I feel bad because a lot of these things I'm not current on.
Okay.
So V and Flash Forward I'm not very current on.
Okay.
V, I'm one behind. Flash Forward, I'm two behind.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You've missed some pretty good episodes of Flash Forward.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Let's start with Lost then.
Okay.
Because that I'm up on.
Okay.
And completely confused on.
Right.
Don't you find it really hard that they're going to answer all of our questions in, what's left, like six episodes?
Five or six episodes, yeah. Yeah, I do. And we talk about that every time we watch an episode.
Right. But I do like how that alternate reality now is starting to have its little glitches.
Yes.
Where they're seeing the life on the island that they didn't. It makes you think that maybe there's more time travel involved here, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's really confusing. Well, at the beginning of this season, don't forget, there was that scene where Desmond was on the plane next to Jack and then he just disappeared.
Right.
So there was something funky going on there. And now Desmond is being used as a, pawn in I always forget his name. Widmore's, plot, whatever it is. And he's apt him with the
electromagnetic.
The giant electromagnetic force.
Right.
Which caused him to go through time again or go through realities again. And then there was also that inconsistency we talked about when Saeed went into the kitchen and rescued Jin in the alternate reality, why weren't Jin and Sun married? Because in the reality that started off on the show, they were already married, right?
Right.
And he...
But it's that thing again where their lives, just like the Sawyer thing, how Sawyer was a cop and had been a cop, so Sawyer's life was completely different before he even got on the plane originally.
Right.
Remember?
Right.
So my theory about that, it goes back to how meeting with Jacob changes their life.
Yeah.
My theory is that, you know how one of either Jin or Sun, one of them is the candidate and the other is not?
Right.
Makes me think that Jin is in fact the candidate, because if you remember before they got on the plane, Sun was pretty much the same as she's always been. But
right.
Jin was different. Jin wasn't the like cold-blooded killer like he was
right.
that we knew before.
Exactly.
So it makes me think that he's the candidate. He's the one that met with Jacob.
Right.
And that it's...
Because she seemed pretty similar.
Right.
And her last name... You know, was Peck.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah.
And they
weren't
married.
You're right. They weren't married. So that's true. Interesting.
Interesting. And then Hurley got a little love connection going on again with Libby.
Yeah.
Which was really interesting because there was where you said we really started to see some glitches.
Right. And I wonder if they're going to do a whole, because now they're dealing with like. Psycho, like a whole psychology thing. And like, you know, here she's supposed to be so crazy because she's having these visions and stuff, but yet is she?
Right, she's obviously not.
So I wonder if this is going to have a lot to do with like the state of mind as well.
Yeah. You know? Well, remember, did I talk about my theory that I told you about? Did I talk about that on the show already?
I don't remember.
I think we just talked about it on the phone. Because one of the things that I was thinking was that maybe this is all like some big... rehabilitation experiment where it's, you know, like almost like a prison system where they're trying to find a better way to rehabilitate people because all the things that we've tried in the past haven't worked. And so they were, you know, so they put them in this thing that makes them think all this stuff is going on to the point where it actually rehabilitates them permanently. Because everybody in the alternate reality is like pretty much a kinder, gentler version
right.
of their previous selves.
Right. That's very interesting.
And
my only...
I mean, I don't...
Why would Locke still be handicapped, though?
Yeah. Well, because everything on the island... If my theory is right, everything on the island doesn't really exist.
Oh, right. Right. Oh, that's
so,
very interesting.
You know, so we'll see.
Oh, we'll see.
Now, I was thinking all that before the Richard episode. So right. in light of the Richard episode, you know, you have to kind of question whether or not any of that is
right.
even possible. But yeah, it's been good, but it has been really confusing. And there was something else. There are other things that keep coming up that we keep saying, isn't that person dead? How'd you like... Ilana's out from the show.
That was great. And I had mentioned that one of the other characters, that had happened on another season.
Yeah, and I totally forgot about that. Like, I still don't remember that happened. But anyway. So, yeah, so Lost has been fun. But, yes, definitely confusing. And so, do you want to talk about American Idol?
Briefly.
Okay.
I mean, it's really lackluster
so boring.
This year.
It's just so boring. Well, none of the contestants have any personality.
What do you think about the Garcia kid being gone?
I'm fine with that. He was not ever really that good.
No.
I mean, he had a couple of okay moments,
right.
but nothing was ever as good as that one audition that
right.
he did. So I'm totally fine with that, and I'm fine with Katie being gone.
Oh, I'm totally fine with Katie being gone.
You know,
she was
whatever.
Annoying.
I didn't really find her annoying.
I did.
Just didn't think that, you know, she's
she
such
wasn't
a
even that good.
I think she's got a good voice. Her problem is that she acts so much older than her years.
Yeah,
you know, because she's a kid. I mean, she's a little kid. And she's got this big voice, so she sings these lower register, bigger songs that don't
right.
fit her age at all.
Right.
And I think that was why she had trouble connecting with anything.
We actually have in the, I won't go through it now, but in the miscellaneous, we have a couple American Idol tidbits.
Okay.
So,
Top Chef Masters, I still have not gotten through the second episode.
I haven't seen the second episode either.
Okay. We're like 3/4 of the way through it.
Yeah. So let's hold off on that also, because I will discuss the first episode later.
Okay. So... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So V,
we'll discuss that later.
Okay, so V, you didn't see last week's, but you saw the week before, right?
Right.
So, okay, so that was the one where they hired the mercenary,
mm-hmm.
who was framed for the warehouse explosion, right? And wasn't that also the episode where Anna picks her mate,
right?
Which was kind of a goofy scene because what they did was they had all these guys lined up, all these alien dudes, right? And they're all lined up, and she's like walking between the two lines of them, like kind of, which one should I choose? And there's one guy who's like 2 feet taller than everyone else, and she
looks like Superman,
right? So she walks down the whole line, and then all of a sudden she does a double take back, and like as if she just noticed him. It's like, the dude's 2 feet taller than everyone else. How did you just notice him now? And so she has sex with the guy in like a pool of water or alien goo or something, whatever it was. Uh-huh. And then she eats him, right?
Yeah.
Which was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew, you know, we'll get more on this stuff once I'm caught up. I'll be caught up for the next episode.
Yeah, but I want you to pay attention to this, and I'm not giving anything away.
Right.
But the mercenary guy, I can't remember what his character's name is, but, you know, he had shaved off his facial hair because he snuck into the FBI. And then, like,
which really makes you feel good about our FBI, doesn't it?
Yeah, hopefully that was fictionalized. But so he shaved off his facial hair so that he looked clean-shaven and FBI-like. And then at the beginning of the next episode, which was the next morning, he has all his facial hair back again. So somebody kind of screwed up in the old continuity
department. That's a huge
screw up. It was so weird.
Anyway. Let's talk about Celebrity Apprentice.
Okay.
Okay, I know you're not really up on this one. Did you see the one?
I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen it all this season.
A couple weeks ago was a task where Rod Blagojevich, our former governor.
Why is he not in prison?
Well, I don't know. But if he thought doing the show was going to help him, it's certainly not. Because what I'm about to say, there was one where he was like the what's it called? The captain.
Okay, right. The team leader.
Yeah. Right. And he is such an idiot. In fact, it made me feel so stupid afterwards because I voted for him.
Oh, boy.
And I cannot believe that he was ever elected in the office. The reason he lost was because for most of the project, he was separated from the rest of his team. So he was supposed to, through email and text and phone, like get across to them what he wanted them to do, you know, okay. Delegate electronically.
Was that part of the task? Was
yes.
That they had to be separated?
Yes.
Okay.
He was like in Orlando and they were all in New York.
Okay.
And he can't text on a phone. He doesn't know how. He can't send an email. He doesn't know how.
He doesn't know how to send an email?
No. He says he had people who would do that for him.
He's not that old.
He's nothing. No,
he should
he's
be ashamed
probably
of himself.
A little older than us.
He should be ashamed of himself.
He couldn't even really use his cell phone.
What a moron.
At one point, they asked him to use the internet, and he's like, I don't know how to do that. Just direct me. Show me how to do it. Like,
what an
really?
Idiot.
You were governor of a the third largest state in the union, and you can't.
We still calling ourselves a union?
I don't know. It was painful to watch.
I mean, don't feel as bad because I didn't vote for him because I have a policy where I don't vote for anyone whose last names I can't pronounce. Like, if you can't sound out someone's last name, they shouldn't be in office.
Well, let me just say, in my defense, at
Blagojevich?
The time, he was up against Judy Bartzepinka, who looked like Lizard Lady. And she
See,
just,
that's a problem.
She looked like
the Dragon Queen.
She had criminal written all over her. So, I mean, between
literally,
the two of them.
She was defaced right. In public.
Between the two of them, you know, he just seemed like the lesser of two evils. But no, not really.
Did he and Donald have any moments where their hair, like...
Little jokes were made here and there. But here's the thing. Donald, for whatever reason, I mean, Blagojevich was clearly an idiot and couldn't even, like, express himself. Like, when he's trying to defend himself,
right.
he talked like a politician. He just, like, everything was, like, rosy. He wouldn't say anything bad about
right.
anyone and, like, you know, trying to defend himself but doing a horrible job. And it's at that point that if he was just a regular contestant on The Apprentice, Donald would have eaten him alive. But
yeah.
for whatever reason, Donald was very, like, you know, nice and courteous with him and never even really, you know...
That's so strange.
...got in his face. Yeah, it was strange. Because even with some of the other celebrities, he's done it.
Yeah.
I also want to mention yesterday's that was on. Cyndi Lauper was the project manager, and she kind of, like, she's been nice in other episodes, but here she was a little bossy and kind of, like, talked down to a couple people.
Yeah.
And so Maria Kanellis, who's a woman wrestler, was.
Hey, wait. Brendan, isn't that the chick who you went to school with?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Your buddy went to prom with her, right? Wow.
She said at one point, she's like, you know, this is really sad because, you know, she was my idol growing up and here she's being really mean to me. And she even said, she goes, you know, I remember dancing around in my room just for years to Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And now it appears it's Girls Just Want to Be Mean. So she confronted Cyndi about it. And Cindy's response was, well, yeah, that should teach you a lesson. Don't ever meet your idols.
Wow. I think that's actually a good lesson to learn.
Right.
I mean, really, isn't that just the story that pretty much everyone always says?
Yeah.
So people who always, you know, meet their idols, they're always
But I love that rather than, like, apologizing
yeah.
or, you know, saying, oh, you've got me wrong. She's just like, well, that
right.
should be a lesson. Don't ever meet your idols.
That is pretty good. Now, see, I don't remember all the people who were on this season, but I remember when we first talked about it that my impression was that Cyndi Lauper would go pretty far because she seemed like she probably would have been smarter than a lot of the people on there. Now, I don't know if that's the way.
I think she has some communication difficulties.
Yeah.
Like just communicating with the rest of her team.
Well, the voice would be number one.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't take that voice seriously.
No. No, that's true. What else we got? Modern Family?
I have not seen Modern Family.
So you didn't see last week's?
No. Was it new?
Yes.
Okay.
The worst Modern Family.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't funny.
Really?
It was written bad. It was like the writers were on vacation and they had someone else writing. It wasn't funny. And I never remember them. Cameron is the larger of the two men, right? The gay couple.
Yeah.
His character is so bumbling in this episode. Like, I like that he's kind of like, you know, klutzy and a little giddy and like,
yeah.
But he's so ridiculously stupid and bumbling in this episode that it's painful to watch.
Was it like Marcus in Indiana Jones 3?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
Exactly.
Not good.
Like, he walks by and he knocks things over and just like, they made him a, well, buffoon. He was a clown in one episode, right. But I mean, they
he
made
actually
him,
is a trained clown.
Oh, my God.
What was the episode about?
Their storyline was about he had been working at a Hallmark store.
Okay.
Because, you know.
Yeah, I definitely didn't see it. Okay, don't tell me too much more. I just want to make sure that I didn't see it. But no, I didn't see that.
No, you would know exactly what I was talking about
wow.
if you had seen
That's
it.
Wow, that's really sad. That's
yeah.
really sad.
No, it wasn't a good episode. But you know what? It's been so spot on and consistent that, you know, I'll forgive them in an episode. But
yeah.
It was bad.
Wow. And was The Office new last week? Because we haven't watched that
Office
yet
Office hasn't been on in a few weeks. This week it's new.
Okay. So last week was a rerun again?
Yeah.
And I don't think Community was on last week either.
None of the Thursday shows have been on for a couple weeks.
I wonder what's up with that.
I don't know.
I want to mention, I won't talk about it too much, but I want to mention that Stargate Universe is back on and has actually been a lot better than it was the first half of the
season.
Now,
that's the show that Robert Knepper is going to be on, right? Was he on this episode?
He was not on the last, either of the last two. No.
He will be on.
Okay.
As I reported.
Yeah.
Last week.
Yeah, I don't, there was no coming attraction, you know, there was no previews from next week that included him either, so I don't know when he's going to be on. But anyway. And then I want to talk about 24, because, you know, this is the last season of 24, and there have just been some, you know, just bombshell things happening this season. Right. It's been really
no
good.
No major spoilers, though.
What?
Don't do any major spoilers, because, you know, I was listening to our last podcast, and it sounds really good. I think I'm going to go once it's out on DVD and they're all out.
Okay.
I think I'm going to check that season
out. Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty great this season. And there's some stuff. Now I can't talk about it, but like each of the last three episodes, your jaw will drop at least once.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. But so it's going to be sad to see that go. And we keep wondering, it's like, are they going to like kill off Jack Bauer at the end of the season? But I think I heard them talking about
wanting to do a
movie. Well, I
was saying that there's the possibility of a movie.
Yeah.
So
I don't think.
But, you know, the whole dynamics of that are weird because this is supposed to take place.
What's the movie going to be called? Two?
Right. Exactly. 2.5.
So I don't know if that would work. But anyway. All right. You want to go into miscellaneous?
Yeah. Crystal Bauer Sox became so stressed over the competitive process of American Idol that she attempted to quit the show. Ryan Seacrest came through and saved the day by sharing his own success story with Crystal and by pointing out that her success will one day enable her to buy her mom a house.
Wow. Thanks, Seacrest, for that. If there's anyone on the show who should be stressed out about the competition, it should not be Crystal Bauer.
That's my point.
She's the only person.
That's my point. She's a shoo-in.
Yeah, I mean, if she doesn't win, then people are just retards.
Right. But I have to say, in the last couple of episodes, Lee has been really good.
Yeah, Lee's been pretty good. And, you know, there are a few people who I wouldn't be, you know, peeved about if they won.
Right.
You know, I could see. And, you know, Casey, I think you could see him winning. I don't think he's as talented
as Lee
or Crystal.
I don't think he's as original as the other
right.
two.
Right, I agree. I don't know if I feel that any of them are original. I got to be honest with you. I don't think any of them are original.
Well,
I think that's
okay.
one of the things that's missing
original's
from this
really
season.
Original's not really the word I want to use then. Has a distinct personality like Crystal does.
What personality does she have?
Well, the singer-songwriter, the kind of hippie chick.
Right, but it's all, but see.
I mean, it's genuine. It's not like.
Yeah.
You know,
okay,
Casey's trying to do the whole blues thing, and like, I'm not buying it 100%.
Yeah, I know what you're saying there, and that I totally agree with you on. Crystal's definitely genuine. I just don't find her to be very original. Like, I would like to, like we've talked about before, I would like to see her take a song that you would not expect her to sing and right. sing it in that style
right.
to make it more interesting.
Right.
But so far, she hasn't done that. She's sung Janis right. Joplin and all these other people
right.
no, who you would expect her to sing.
Right.
So, and Lee, I mean, if he has a personality, it's hiding somewhere.
Yeah. Well, he's from Mount Prospect.
Wow.
Brendan, you're not from Mount Prospect, right? Okay.
And we know she's not. She's from Minnesota, so
I got more American Idol. Two okay. more American Idol.
Ooh.
American Idol band leader Ricky Minor will be leaving the show to take Kevin Eubanks' band leader position on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Where's Kevin Eubank going?
Remember a few weeks ago, I reported that Kevin Eubanks is leaving.
I know, but is he going to go somewhere else?
He hasn't said
He's
why.
He's just retiring or whatever.
And like I said then, I hope it's because he hates Jay.
Yeah,
and he can't
exactly.
take it anymore.
Exactly. That's actually kind of weird. I guess Ricky Minor kind of feels like Idol is imploding right now, so why not jump ship?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's getting paid a lot more. Well,
I don't know. I mean, Idol's the biggest show on TV
yeah.
in this country.
But, I mean, The Tonight Show is a...
It's an institution.
Well, and it's a sure thing. I mean, he knows that, you know...
Right. It's probably not going to get canceled.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happens with Paula Abdul.
Speaking of,
yes.
rumor has it that American Idol producers are considering bringing Paula Abdul back.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's not really, though.
Why would she go back to that show? Isn't she going to be on...
If they gave her what she wanted, she'd go back.
But isn't she going to go on Simon's show?
Well, that's still speculation. There's no... Nothing's been confirmed about that.
Okay. All right.
But apparently they feel that that's one of the reasons why this season isn't as good as the past seasons, because she's not there. Well, some producer kind of like made a comment and then people ran with it.
Well, what was... Do you know what the comment was?
No.
Oh. Okay.
And lastly, Robot Chicken creators Seth Green and Matthew Senreich will be working with Lucasfilm on a new animated Star Wars series. The show will have a comedic vibe and focus more on everyday life in the Star Wars universe rather than the battle of the Rebels versus the Empire.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm guessing like Three's Company on Hoth or Tatooine.
Well, let's put it this way. If you're going to put Three's Company in the Star Wars universe, I'd rather have it be on Hoth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Boobalicious.
There you go.
I don't know. I think
and
this could
some
be
more
good.
Than Twi'lek Jedis because apparently,
I think it could be good.
What's going on with the live action Star Wars show?
I don't know.
I haven't heard anything about that.
I haven't either. I mean, I just hope this isn't so like so comedic that it's like, you know, Family Guy. And
right. That's what I was
just
going to say.
I like those
specials. Is it going to be that? Is it going to be totally tongue-in-cheek and
right.
making fun of itself?
Right. I don't want it to be that.
No. I you know, and the
but
thing
I like the idea where it takes place in the Star Wars universe but doesn't have anything to do with the battle between the Rebels and the Empire. It's just
right.
a day in
There's
the life.
A lot that could be done with that that
yeah.
could be really cool.
Right.
But the question is, how much is Lucas actually going to be involved with it? Because if he's involved, it's going to be terrible, because one of the things that sucked about the prequel trilogy was that there was no humor in it.
Right.
I mean, there was there anything that was genuinely
why it's being
funny?
Entrusted to other people.
Yeah.
And I've got even better Star Wars stuff later.
Oh, okay. Do you want to, before we stop talking about TV, do you want to talk about next Wednesday at all?
Yeah, actually, I've acquired tickets next Wednesday to a taping of America's Got Talent for the upcoming season. So Lou and I are planning on going.
Right. And I don't know that we'll be able to actually do any interviews or anything like that while
no,
we're
they
there.
Won't allow us to even bring in a cell phone. So.
Right, right.
But it'll all be just, you know, our experience.
Right, and we'll go over that the following
right.
week.
But so. I was surprised to find out when I got the tickets that the Hoff is no longer on America's Got Talent. It's
He's gone.
Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel. So get your make sure you're wearing your knuckle pads in case we run into the man.
My brass
literally
knuckles. Hit him in the head.
So that's it for TV. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies.
Now, this is really odd that I have no movie to talk about, and you have a movie to talk
about. I actually
about.
Do have a movie to
you
talk about.
It's the other way around.
We saw Shutter Island about a week ago, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good. You know, I'm sure I've talked about this before, but with DiCaprio movies, I kind of go half and half.
Right.
And I thought this was one of his better ones. There's a twist ending, which I don't know if you've heard about.
No, I haven't, so don't tell
okay,
me.
Okay, so I won't say anything about it. And it's one that, you know, I couldn't think of anything while I was you know, I don't know how much I can say about this. I'll just say that it was good. It was entertaining. For some reason,
did you guess the twist?
Sort of.
All right.
I will say that my wife, who I've talked to, I know I've talked about this before, but she always like guesses stuff.
Uh huh.
She guessed it during the opening credits.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that was a little disappointing. At least she didn't tell me at that time. But yeah, she said something to me, and then later she said that was what she thought was going to happen. But anyway, yeah, it was. I thought it was very well done. It was very, you know, I think there have been a lot of comparisons to Hitchcock movies.
Uh-huh.
And there was definitely some very Hitchcockian stuff about it. And it was pretty good. There was some really cool stuff in it. And I'll be interested to hear what you think about it after you've seen it. But I definitely recommend it if you like, you know, mystery type stuff.
Is it scary?
I didn't really find it scary. I mean, it was tense,
right?
But I didn't find it scary.
So that old lady, she didn't scare you?
No. I was sure that was Flo from Alice. But I don't think it was her.
I don't think so.
I didn't look it up, but I don't think it was her.
No, I don't
think it
so.
Looked like her, though.
Yeah.
Because they showed her a couple times, and I swear it looked just like Flo, but, you know, with bad hair.
Right.
Or worse hair, I guess I should say.
Right. And or there was bad no, on a different
there,
level.
And there was no... bad on a different level, thank you. And there was no mention of Grits, so it probably wasn't
right.
her.
Because Mel wasn't there.
So. Mel wasn't there, no.
Right.
Wasn't he killed? No, what am I thinking of? That wasn't.
I don't know. I'm still getting over you saying that Forrest Whitaker went to jail for killing someone.
No, I can't remember. I can't remember who the actor was. I forgot to look that up. No, it wasn't Mel.
What are you referring to?
There was some actor who in the 80s, I think, was filming a movie and was killed during a helicopter stunt.
The Twilight Zone. It was Vic Morrow.
Vic Morrow. Okay.
Yeah. Not Vic Tayback, which is. The actor who portrayed Mel on Alice.
That's hence my confusion.
Oh, my.
I don't know.
We did a little jog around the park for that one.
We did. But at least there was some kind of payoff, which was me looking like an idiot. So, good movie. Definitely a good movie.
Yeah. There's a couple of movies out I want to see, so I'll definitely have something
I
to talk
I want to see
about.
Hot Tub Time Machine. I want to see How to Train Your Dragon because I've heard it's very
good.
I do,
too. I've heard nothing but like rave reviews about that movie.
I've heard it's
movie.
Very good.
I want to see Date Night.
I want to see Date Night.
I do.
Kind of. Makes me nervous. And there's another movie that... I want to see Kick-Ass.
Oh, yeah. That
looks
really
like it could
too.
Be fun.
Uh-huh.
Except I can't stand that girl and her little squinty eyes.
Well, and then there's Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, but at least he's playing a weirdo, so it fits.
Yeah.
What's his deal? Like, what's his deal?
He's crazy.
Is that it? Is he just nuts?
Yeah.
Has he always been nuts?
I don't know.
I hate to say it, but one of my favorite movies of his still is Gone in 60 Seconds. I loved him in that movie.
I've never seen that movie.
You never saw that?
No.
That was a lot of fun.
Don't make me say it. I won't say it.
It was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It really was a lot of fun. Angelina Jolie's in it. How could you not see it? Come on. As a blonde.
Yeah.
With dreadlocks.
Wasn't she blonde in Hackers, too?
I don't know. That movie was so terrible. That was like her first big movie, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was such a bad movie, though.
Speaking of bad movies, you want to move on to miscellaneous?
Sure. Sure.
First item here.
Okay.
Tom Arnold has revealed that he will be appearing in yet another toy to big screen project that's in the works, a movie based on the board game Battleship.
Okay. Well, I mean, at least there you could see some kind of military drama unfold, potentially.
Sure. But I mean, to say that. They could have just said that about...
In the future, the military will use a grid system to sink all their enemies.
Right.
Unfortunately, all ships will fit into a square or rectangular area. Right. Precisely. That is 1, 2, or up to 5 pegs long.
Right.
I wonder if there's going to be like a hand of God coming down and putting pegs in the ocean.
I want it to be a literal translation. If they're going to say it's based on the board game,
right.
I want a literal translation.
Right. I want the governments of the world to get together and build a giant grid system over the world's oceans with giant panels.
And the ships cannot, they can only go exactly
to the plastic boundary.
East to west or north to south.
Right. They cannot go at any angles. No. There will be no turning.
Right.
Of any sort whatsoever.
But you know, Tom Arnold, so it's bound to be a hit.
Sure.
Yeah.
How many times do you think during the course of the film he will yell out, "You sunk my battleship"?
Well, that's what I want. If they're going to make it in translation, that's what I want.
And then I would also like somebody to play the character of Popeye in the film, because he needs to play a part in this. I mean, why not? Why not just tie in everything that has to do with boats or ships or captains or sailors or anything?
You ready to move
on?
Such
a stupid idea.
See, we can't even come up with 5 minutes on Battleship, and they're going to come up with 2 hours.
I doubt it's going to be a two-hour film, though.
Bourne Trilogy director Paul Greengrass is working on a 3D version of the literary classic Fantastic Voyage.
Well, you know, that could actually be pretty cool.
Could be really cool.
I'll tell you what. One of the most underrated movies of the 80s, Innerspace. If that movie had been done in 3D, that would have been even more of a blast. That was a great movie. Have not seen Innerspace, go back and watch that film. Totally underrated. I know a lot of people who have never even seen that film. I mean, who are our age, you know, who were going to the movies back then and never saw it.
Well, if I remember back then, it wasn't like highly publicized.
No. They didn't make
it. It was a sleeper.
It was a sleeper, and it's a great film. It's so much fun.
Yeah,
totally in that vein of like, you know, Back to the Future and Gremlins. That whole
and
feel.
Perfect blend of comedy and
action and sci-fi and stuff. It's really a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the very few good Martin Short movies.
Yeah, he's great in it. Yeah. Really funny. Yeah, and of course, Wendy Schall is in it.
Right,
in her best role ever.
Joss Whedon is the lucky duck who will direct the Marvel film based on the Avengers, which includes heroes Captain America, the Hulk, Thor, and Iron Man. So it seems, even though they're just making Thor now and about to make Captain America, that this thing is going to, you know, happen right afterwards.
Yeah. I'm curious about the choice of Joss Whedon for that. That could be great.
Yeah.
Or it could be not so great.
Yeah.
You know,
You mean like having McG direct the Terminator movie?
Great. I think Joss Whedon's got a little bit better of a track record for stuff. The thing that's interesting,
especially like cult loved stuff,
right? The thing that's interesting though is like if you look at Firefly, which I think is a fantastic series, and then you look at what he did with the Serenity movie, which was pretty good if you had watched the series, but the movie can't stand on its own. I mean, if you watch it by itself, it really kind of makes no sense if you didn't see the series. But you know, I think he's really good at, well, I was going to say, I think he's really good at making characters that you fall in love with pretty quickly and then you care about over the story arc through a TV series. But then I'm thinking about Dollhouse and it's like, well,
right,
there goes that theory. But I mean, people loved Buffy and people loved, what was that other show he did?
Angel?
No. Not related to Buffy.
Felicity.
Did people love that show?
Not me.
Okay. I've never seen it.
I don't think I was their target demographic, though.
Probably not.
Gossip Girl's Chase Crawford has bowed out of the Footloose remake.
Wow. I don't even know who that is. Guy or girl?
A guy.
Okay.
He was playing the Kevin Bacon
role. Oh, okay.
But not anymore. Yeah. Percy Jackson and the Olympian star Logan Lerman will portray Spider-Man in the next film that is currently in pre-production.
I still think that whole thing is a big sham. I mean, the origin story that they just did is only like 10 years ago, right?
Right.
Why would you redo that now?
I mean, I don't get the whole thing to make him younger and like...
I can't imagine that it's going to be... Because I really like the first Spider-Man movie.
I know. Unless they're just going a completely different direction with it. But really, how can you?
Why? What's the point?
It was done well before.
Why don't you just do... I mean, if you...
Like, I understand why they did it with the Hulk, because the first one was terrible.
It was terrible.
Although I wasn't really a fan of the second one either.
The first one was the Ang Lee one, right?
Right.
Yeah, that was awful.
Did you like the second one?
I thought it was better.
Better.
But it still was... It still felt like a very small movie to me.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel epic at all.
Yeah.
And that really bothered me.
I wonder, speaking of, when we were talking about the Avengers, I should do a little research. I wonder if Ed Norton will be playing the Hulk.
Oh, I don't know. I have not heard.
And lastly,
yes,
big news.
Okay.
Do you know this yet?
I have not read ahead.
Excellent. The folks from Lucasfilm announced that C2E2, which we will talk about after this story because we were both there as well.
Yes, we will.
This weekend, that a Blu-ray box set of all 6 Star Wars films is set to be released in the not-too-distant future.
Really?
Yeah. They are currently collecting a huge number of never-before-seen treasures to include in the package.
Hopefully these treasures will be weighted more towards the original trilogy side and not the new trilogy.
Well, they said
side.
They found like old dailies and stuff from like the first one that they want to like include. So, I mean, this brings up a lot of conversation. Are the original 3 going to be
the original 3?
Right.
Or the redone 3?
Right.
I hope it's the original 3. You know, I actually wouldn't mind some of the things being like, I like some of the changes that were made to the, like, the Death Star sequence at the end of Star Wars, mm-hmm. just because they got rid of all the matte lines and everything around the spaceships.
I also liked, like, when they were going through, when they were going to Mos Eisley and they showed, like, a wide shot of, you know.
Yeah.
That was
and
they, really
without
cool.
focusing on it.
Right.
Yeah, that was all right. So that was stuff like
but
that was okay.
The scenes, like the Han Solo
no,
and
terrible.
Jabba scene was terrible.
I don't need to see Han Solo step on Jabba's tail and no. have Jabba go, ah! I don't need to see that, okay, ever. In fact, if somebody can figure out a way to purge that from my memory, I'd appreciate it, as long as it's non-invasive. But yeah, and the fact that you have to buy the entire box set.
Well, wouldn't you want that? I mean, we certainly would.
What? Of all six? I don't want the...
Just as a collector. I mean, yeah. I mean, would you like to
know... I'm
not
going to watch them. I'll never watch the original trilogy again. They're terrible.
I mean, you have a son that's growing up. You don't want to introduce him to, like, the whole... I mean, it's part of the universe. So, yeah. I mean...
Okay, so here, Enzo, these are the three good movies. And now here's the bad ones where the cartoon rabbit steps in the poopy.
Well, you know what? Actually, he can set his sippy cup on like one of the other movies
that's right.
discs as a coaster.
Oh, use this as a coaster.
Right.
And drink something with a high acid content, if you wouldn't mind. Where's the orange juice?
You know what? Let's actually talk about C2E2 at the end.
Okay. That's when I was planning on talking about
it. Oh, okay.
So there you go. So that's it for movies. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come back to talk about everything else in the mashup. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
Moosh moosh.
The iPad is out. Yippee. That's all I'm saying about that.
Okay.
As you know, a volcano erupted in Iceland on the 14th of April and pumped so much ash into the atmosphere that only now, 5 days later, are European test flights suggesting that it might be okay to start flying again. And the reason they were so concerned about this is that I guess the silicates in the ash... when they melt at a much lower temperature than how hot airplane engines get. So like in 1989, when there was a volcano that had erupted, KLM 747 flew through a cloud of volcanic ash and the ash turned into glass and hardened inside the engines and the engines
right.
just shut down. And the plane dropped 2 miles before the pilots could, you know, thank God, get them restarted again. So obviously they didn't want anything like that happening again. So
that's really bad.
That is really bad. Could you imagine having been on that flight? That would have been terrifying. I was actually on an airplane once that had actual mechanical trouble serious enough to land the plane. And it's pretty terrifying. There were a lot of people crying on the plane because they thought we were going to die. It was scary. And it had nothing to do with a volcano, so there you go. Seagate and Paramount have an agreement whereby select Seagate Free Agent Go portable hard drives will be preloaded with Paramount movies. For instance, you can go out right now and buy a 500 gig Free Agent Go drive that has last year's Star Trek preloaded and available for activation for no charge.
Wow.
That's kind of neat.
That is neat.
So, I mean, I guess it's a good idea because...
you're not paying any extra for it.
No, you're not. You're not. It's nothing extra. And I guess it's a good thing. It's kind of a neat thing because, you know, there's so many of those drives out there. I mean, it's good from the manufacturer's standpoint. There's so many of those things out there. And a lot of times people are like, I don't know which one to pick or whatever. I will tell you that I prefer Seagate drives over many of their competitors. So, you know, there's just a little something else to nudge you in that direction. The latest iPhone 4G rumors. Well, actually, let's talk about this. Apparently some huge breaking news. Left a prototype iPhone 4G in a bar in California the other day. And someone found it. And it was disguised as an iPhone 3GS,
uh-huh.
and they took off the disguise. And so on Gizmodo this morning, they had all of these pictures and video and everything of the iPhone 4G, which looks a little bit different. It's not, the back isn't rounded anymore.
It's flatter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the shape of the whole thing is the same kind of rounded rectangle, but it's flat. And then
and
there's
not
this...
quite as rounded. Doesn't it look more square?
No, not to me. Not from these pictures anyway.
Well, you're colorblind.
Yeah, thanks. It's still a rounded rectangle, but it's flat now, and it looks like the back might be glass, or maybe it's just plastic to look like glass.
But I guess they
like took it apart and used it and played around with it. There's a front-facing video conferencing camera. There's a micro SIM card.
Higher def camera on the back with a flash.
With a flash.
The battery's bigger.
Yeah, the battery is 16% bigger.
Which causes it to be a little heavier.
And I think they said 3 grams heavier or something like that. So you have to decide whether you want to have this phone or some cocaine with you.
What? I don't get that.
Don't they measure cocaine in grams? Do okay. people still use coke?
I don't know.
You know, you don't know anymore.
I don't hang in those circles anymore.
Anymore. Wow, what a revelation. I'm trying to see what else is in here. There's a lot of info. See, go on Gizmodo.com and see if you can find the article, because it's pretty cool to see it, just because it's so far ahead of when it's
right.
supposedly going to be unveiled. And we're pretty sure that unless this was leaked on purpose,
that
somebody
is
a dead man.
Screwed.
Yeah. I can't believe somebody left this in a bar.
Unbelievable.
That is really crazy.
And anyway, I love that the person who found it knew immediately to give it to Gizmodo.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Which I'm sure they got paid heavily for, don't you think?
Oh, I would have strong-armed a few bucks out of whoever was going to cover it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. But anyway, so I don't need to read the latest iPhone 4G rumors that I was going to read, because now we know exactly what's going on
right
in there. I can't believe it's taken them, 4 years to put a flash on that camera? Just chuckleheads.
But I hope it's actually, I hope that... Oh, they also said that the display was a higher resolution.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't read that in there?
No, I the article's like 6 pages long. Oh. I didn't have time to read that.
Oh, and
well, you just told me. Well, you just
and you hate reading. I forgot about that as well.
No, I don't hate reading. I hate reading novels. You always say that. I just don't like reading novels.
I know, but it sounds better if you hate reading.
Well, it sounds funnier from your standpoint.
Yeah.
Sounds worse for me.
That's my only concern at this point.
Right.
When we're actually
recording.
As
it has always
anyway.
Been. a line of clothing called Ping has embedded electronics that can sense what you're doing and send out updates to Twitter, Facebook, etc. Now, considering that people tweet about like what they're eating, what kind of sensor would you put in a piece of clothing to determine that? Right. Eating a chocolate donut with sprinkles. There's no donut sensor that I know of. So I don't know what these people are thinking, but it's a stupid idea nonetheless. And apparently there's even a little thing that would like tap you on the shoulder.
What if you're wearing that thing and you're doing something
naughty?
Right. And you forget you're wearing it. And all of a sudden your Facebook updates. Well,
having
you
sex
can
with,
imagine what it says.
Having sex with Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley. Oh, damn. I should have taken off my Ping shirt.
Hello.
What's that smell?
Oh,
wow.
Geez.
I could make so many jokes right now but I'm not going to. Dell will be releasing a couple of iPad competitors called Streak.
Streak?
One that you're only allowed to use them while nude. One that's 10 inches and another 7-inch version. And supposedly Apple is supposedly making a 7-inch version of the iPad too. We'll see if that happens. But anyway, the smaller of the two Streak products could be out later this year, with the 10-inch version coming out next year. I talked briefly one time in the past about LightPeak, which was a new connector and new type of bus to someday replace USB 3.0.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be coming as soon as early next year. Again, it runs at 10 gigabits per second, which is fast enough to transfer an entire Blu-ray movie in 30 seconds.
Wow.
That's like 50 gigabytes in 30 seconds. That's insane.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. NASA and
GM. In a
very
short amount of time.
It is, thank you. It's fast, in other words.
Yes.
NASA and GM will be sending a robot called Robonaut 2, a.k.a. R2. Get it?
It's just a matter of time.
Right? To the International Space Station to help astronauts with stuff and things. What's cool about this R2 is that it's a humanoid-type robot, which means, of course, that they got the name wrong. But R2 will be heading to the ISS in September. How cool is that? There's going to be a humanoid robot on the International Space Station in September of this
right.
year. This is not future we're talking about. September of this year. That's so cool. By the way, I didn't put this in the outline, but there was this rumor going around that somebody found evidence of a time traveler in a photo in a museum exhibit. There was some museum exhibit about... I don't even know what the exhibit was about, but there was a photograph of a bunch of people witnessing the reopening of a bridge after a flood or something in a town in like the 1930s. And in the crowd is a guy standing with what looks like a small digital camera wearing a sweater over a screen printed T-shirt.
Come on.
And this was in a museum exhibit. But then people started going through and saying, well, it's probably not a digital camera. It's probably an old Polaroid camera. And that screen printing as a process has been around for hundreds of years. But it wasn't really prevalent on T-shirts until the 50s. So the question is, you know, was the guy actually wearing a screen printed T-shirt, or was it a like embroidered shirt, which was obviously very common in the 30s. Are you looking at the picture?
Yeah.
And it does look like he's wearing a screen printed T-shirt, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well.
But there's no. There's
it looks
no,
like it could have been knit that way.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It could have been embroidered. But, I mean, just at first glance.
Like knit, like with two different color yarns, like a sweater knit.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right, right.
Because there's an M.
But it definitely looks like a T-shirt. It doesn't look like it's part of the sweater. The sweater that he's wearing is over that shirt.
Well, I'm saying he could be wearing a sweater over a sweater.
But it's interesting, right? I mean, it's kind of interesting. I mean, I don't know how they came to the conclusion.
But I don't buy that camera is a digital camera.
I know. I mean, you can barely even see what the guy's holding. But it was kind of cool. It was kind of fun to look at that picture and think, what if?
Yeah.
Just like sci-fi suggests we do.
I'll read more about this later. I'm going to save this.
Okay. Finally, Flip is releasing a camera with widescreen. It's about time. Called the Flip Side HD. It'll record 12 hours of video on the internal 16 gigs of storage. And has a 2-hour battery life. It'll be $280 when it comes out. So it's, you know, positioned sideways, obviously, so that it's... Because you know what the flip cameras look like. And then the panel that has the screen on it kind of, like, slides up a little bit.
Cool.
It's kind of a confusing layout, actually. I'm not sure why they did that. But I guess just so that there would be no buttons on the panel that has the screen on it.
Right.
But I think that's good because that's one of my complaints about that. Because, you know, Amy uses that thing every day, the flip that I gave her. And one of the things I don't like about it is the screen is so small that you really can't tell if you got a good shot of something.
Right.
Unless you hook it up to something else.
They heard your complaints.
The other thing I don't like about it is when you go to playback videos, the volume adjustments only are like, it's like a 5-step volume adjustment. So you get down to an area that's still pretty loud and then the next setting is off, which sucks. So I hope they adjust that too. But anyway. So that's all I have for the mashup, which means that now, as always, it's our time to reveal our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Tony, please give us your worst.
I believe we have the same worst this week.
I believe we do have the same worst this week,
so
which has not happened in a long time.
No. So why don't you go on and
the C2E2, which let me just explain what that stands for. Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo.
Right.
Which would lead you to believe that there was some form of entertainment covered at this expo other than comics, which was not at all the case.
Right.
It was basically a comic book show.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't read comic books. I wanted to go there for entertainment.
Yeah, more than half of the exhibit hall was people selling their old comic books.
Yeah. More than half, yeah. Now, there was some cool stuff. They had a whole artist table section.
I did get some new shoe insoles.
There was a booth there for these things called Happy Feet.
Happy Feet.
And Tony's got bad feet.
And I do, because I'm standing on my feet 10 to 12 hours a day.
Sure.
But I have to say, since wearing them, I'm wearing them right now, actually, my shins and calves are killing me.
Bless you, Kelsey.
My feet
really?
Feel better, but my legs are killing me.
Wow.
So, Happy Feet, Sad Legs.
Sad Legs. You think they'll rename them?
No, well, they're not going to sell them if they had in the Sad Legs.
I bought a couple things at the show, too. One of the things was I bought a T-shirt for Amy that is some artist. I wish I remembered his name. You know, I'll get it and I'll post it because it's pretty funny. Yeah. It's it says Groverfield, and it's like the Cloverfield monster, but Grover. It was actually pretty cool. You saw it, right?
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. Did you ever watch that movie yet?
No, I have to watch that
movie.
Oh,
my God. You've got to watch
that
movie.
You gave me that movie for my birthday in January.
I know.
Yeah, I'll watch
it. You got to watch that.
I will.
But anyway. So, yeah, and I got to see an old buddy of mine, this guy named Christopher Shai, who's a comic book and graphic novel illustrator, who is also now working on doing some visual design for movies. He's working on the Conan movie. Just got back from Bulgaria working on that. So we're going to try to get him on for an interview because I think it'd be fun to have him talk about all the stuff that he does. And a very talented guy. You'd actually seen some of his stuff before, right? Didn't you say that?
Well, I had said that the writer of the graphic novel that he was there promoting.
Oh, was
he was on
TV.
The news the other day. So okay. It was really weird that this guy who you knew was involved with this project that I just happened to see on the news.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And
we did see some other things. We saw, like, you know, we saw the Batmobile that was in the original Batman series. We saw the car from Back to the Future.
Although this was not the original.
No.
Because it had little LCD TVs all over it, which was stupid. The one thing that was funny about that I wish we had been able to stay to see was that there was a sign next to the DeLorean that said that at noon Matthew J. Fox was going to be there. Right. And we're like, they got the name wrong. But it's actually this guy named Matt Bell, who's a Marty McFly lookalike, specifically Marty McFly. Like, apparently he can't pass.
He doesn't do Teen Wolf.
Right. Exactly.
He's no Alex P. Keaton.
He is no Alex P. Keaton. But if you want Marty McFly, Matthew Bell is your guy.
Right.
And the guy who was running the exhibit had this little, like, ticket that had a picture of the guy on it. And, I mean, indistinguishable from Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know in real life, you know, if you saw him from every angle, if he would look that much like him. But at least in this shot, you literally could not tell him apart.
Right.
From Michael J. Fox.
You know, we'll post maybe on our Facebook page rather than putting it on pause. We'll post a couple of the pictures that we took from.
Yeah, I mean, and we took some pretty lousy, stupid pictures. Just all the
people dressed
that you
up as like Boba Fett. And,
right, or as one of them should have been called Boba Fett. If you're gonna put on the Boba Fett costume, you might want to trim down a little bit.
Yeah.
Stop eating the Entenmann's fudge donuts beforehand. Okay?
Boba Fett did not have a muffin top. Say that.
No, he did not. Yeah, that was a little disturbing, actually.
Yeah.
And I went up to Darth Vader and asked him if he was Jeff Vader with a British accent, and he didn't get it,
which
I was disappointed about. If you're enough of a Darth Vader fan to dress up as Darth Vader at a convention, wouldn't you have seen that video?
Yeah, but, you know, I at least give him credit for he was speaking to you in a Darth Vader voice.
He was. I think he had a voice changer, too.
Yeah.
Because I asked him, are you Jeff Vader? And he said, no, I am not. But actually, my Darth Vader, I think, is better than his. Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't need a voice changer for it. That wasn't it right there. I'll
another
do
thing
it for
they
you
had there,
time.
They had people were playing the upcoming Iron Man 2 video game, which
I didn't play the first one.
Just looked okay.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that movie, though.
Me too.
Looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Me too.
Is Obadiah Stane going to be in it again?
I don't think so.
What kind of a stupid name is that? Still can't get past that name.
So
that
was anyway,
both of our
Let's
our
post
worst...
some of those pictures, because I took a couple pictures too. We'll post them on the Facebook page.
Okay. I think we got some cool pictures of something.
Yeah.
But most of it was just stuff like that.
I got a picture of some of the Iron Man props, and which they were auctioning off later.
I got a picture of some World of Warcraft action figures that somebody was selling, but I don't think any of that stuff is new. I think it was all just, you know, you can buy it if you want. Those were pretty nice, though. Some of them were actually really nicely detailed.
Yeah.
But I would never buy any of that stuff. I don't care.
All right.
So what was your best entertainment
moment
of the week?
Oh, most easily, but we're talking like a week and a half ago. It was the first episode of Top Chef Masters.
Yes.
Where I was really excited about this season because there are two chefs that I've actually worked with for a long time on this. And it just so happened the two chefs I worked with, Tony Montuano and Susan Finnegar, they just happened to be teamed up.
Together.
For not only the quick fire, but the whole challenge. For the whole day. And they won.
Woohoo!
So it was so cool because it was two different parts of my life and two different people that, you know, I would figure they knew about
and
each other.
And from two different parts of the country. I mean, Susan's based out of LA.
And Tony's here in Chicago. So they just happened to get paired up and they worked together and they won. And it was just really cool for me.
It was really cool.
It was like all my
win.
Worlds colliding in a really good way.
Yeah.
Because usually when my worlds collide,
it's bad.
Not in
bad
a good
news.
Way. But I don't know if I told you this. So last week I happened to go to one of Tony's restaurants here and the two things he had served. Oh, I think I did tell you.
Yeah,
was on the menu.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. I'm actually going back there for lunch on
Wednesday. What's the name of that restaurant again?
Terzo Piano. Which means third floor.
Oh, okay.
It's in the,
it's on the second
modern
floor.
Wing. Right. Yeah, but it's on the second floor. It makes no sense. It's
they
in the modern wing
over
of
there.
The Art Institute.
In Chicago.
Right.
Yeah, on Michigan Avenue.
But I will be having lunch there on Wednesday, and I have vowed to try the two things.
Wednesday of this week?
Yes.
Who are you going with?
That's really none of your business.
Wow. How about that?
I'm not wearing the Ping shirt, so I'm not going to like.
But wait. Oh, so you haven't been there yet?
Yeah, I was there on Friday.
Okay.
I have a friend who works there, and I had a little appetizer. It was great.
Was it one of the ones?
Full lunch.
See, Tony Montuano, and I think we talked about this before. He was the chef at a place called Tutto Posto that I loved, and then I kind of referred you to his other restaurant when you moved back here from LA, right? And that's how you kind of got hooked up with him,
right?
And then I just like take credit for lots
go ahead,
of things.
Take it. You did. You got me the job there.
I did. Because I was friends with him. I was friendly with him, and I was friends with a lot of people on his staff.
Right.
Because these two restaurants were fantastic. And then after he closed the second one of those restaurants is when he became the executive chef at Spiaggia, which I believe is still considered one of the best Italian restaurants in the country, right? Yeah.
And our president's favorite restaurant.
That's right, Obama's favorite
restaurant. In fact, apparently I had heard that a couple of weeks ago, Obama will just call him and say, oh, you know, I want you to come cook this dinner. And so he flies him out constantly.
Really?
To just come and cook a dinner. So he drops whatever he's doing. You know, flies out there and it gets taken great care of.
Yeah,
but that's pretty cool, isn't it?
That is pretty cool. That's pretty cool. That's a sweet gig to have.
I'll say.
I wonder how many other chefs he does that with, if any.
I don't know.
That'd be interesting. That was a great episode. It was really cool seeing them win. So now I'm nervous though. Like I'm really nervous going into the championship round.
Right.
You know, it's like, I hope they do just as well there.
Right.
I was a little disappointed with, I meant to ask you, was the appetizer you had?
It was not the one. No.
Oh, it was not one of the ones he used to
serve. I will be having both of those on Wednesday.
No, not one of those, but was it one of the ones that he used to serve at his old restaurants? Cause isn't some of the stuff the same?
It was something similar that he had done at Montuano's, but as like a special.
What was it?
It was a smoked white fish with like a cheese, and he kind of whipped it, and he served it with like a cracker.
I cannot believe an Italian chef put cheese with fish.
Right?
But
it was more of like a cream cheese. It wasn't like
that. Yeah, and he's not like a crazy like nouvelle cuisine kind of chef, but he puts a lot of things together that people don't necessarily put together. I mean, his restaurants were, before he was at Spiaggia, were not Italian restaurants. They were Mediterranean restaurants. Right. And so he mixed a lot of stuff from the whole region. And I mean, there were a few times when, because I'd gotten to be friendly with him, that when I'd go there, he would put stuff on the table that I didn't order just because he wanted us to try it. And sometimes I was a little nervous to try it because it was stuff that I would not normally eat, like tuna fish. And I'm telling you, he made a tuna tartare once.
You don't eat tuna?
I don't eat tuna.
That's so weird.
It's disgusting. But
it's like the easiest to eat fish.
It's disgusting.
Oh, by the way, this is the one that's very open-minded about
food. In most places, in most times when I've been around tuna fish, the smell alone is so repulsive that I can't even eat anything.
That was bad fish then.
That's what everyone always says.
Because if tuna is fresh, you don't smell anything.
Okay, well, what I'm telling you is that even in places where people have said, oh my God, this tuna is so fresh. that I've been repulsed just by the smell of it. But anyway, with that said, so one day I go into Tutto Posto and he puts down this tuna tartare. So here's like two nightmarish things, tuna, and it's basically raw.
Right.
So he puts down this tuna tartare in front of me and I'm like dreading having to eat this, but it's like, you can't turn it down because the chef just put it on your table and is standing there waiting for you to try it. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And it's the same with, you know, some of my other favorite chefs who I won't go into that now, but you know, they've made things that I would not normally eat. And because they're things that I just generally don't like,
right.
And they've been really great.
But otherwise, you're very open-minded about food. as long as it's not chocolate or mint or fish.
Or salt. No, I just don't. Okay, maybe
vegetables.
I like vegetables. Maybe the deal is that most places don't serve fresh fish, but I usually do not like fish because the smell and the texture are just disgusting to me for the most part.
Again, you sure that's the fish?
I don't know what you're getting at, but I'm sure.
Are you done with my best entertainment moment? You want to move on to your best entertainment moment?
I didn't know we weren't allowed to have a conversation about this. For my best entertainment.
Conversation would imply that I was speaking as well.
Well, you were speaking.
I was
sort
done
of.
Like 10 minutes ago.
That's okay. I just ran with it. That's all I'm
you
saying.
You did run.
So my best entertainment moment of the week is the last two episodes, because we haven't been here in a couple weeks.
Right.
Last two episodes of Stargate Universe have been fantastic. I don't know if this is the plan from the beginning, but now that we got used to the fact that it's totally different from the other Stargate shows and had a little break, you know, through the holidays and everything, now that it's come back, it's been really, really great. In fact, there was an episode, there was a scene on Friday's episode that was really, really heart-wrenching. And what happened was they dropped out of hyperspace near a star and a planet that are not on, not in the database of the ship. And so they don't know why.
So they went off the grid.
They went off the grid. Uh-huh. And they don't know why the ship stopped there. They don't know how this planet and star could be there without the database knowing it, because the way that the thing worked was that the ancients had built these spaceships that would just fly out through the universe and drop stargates on all these planets. And so whenever they dropped out of hyperspace, it was because they needed something from either the star or the planet where they had stopped.
Right.
But there was no record of this solar system or anything. And so they get down there and they realize that some other really old and really advanced alien technology had probably built both the star and the planet after the ancients' spaceships had been through there. So first of all, now you've got an alien race that is technologically advanced enough to create a star and a planet. And the planet was like perfect. I mean, a bunch of people went down there and they were there for a month as the spaceship that they're on like circled around the sun. And a lot of them wanted to stay. But one of the people who wanted to stay was the girl who's the doctor on the ship, who we find out is pregnant with the baby of the guy who's like the military commander. Uh-huh. And he doesn't know about it. And so she was going to stay because she couldn't bear the thought of, you know, going back to the ship and having a baby on that ship, never knowing if they're ever going to get back to Earth or what's going to happen to them or whatever. And the, again, not knowing that she's pregnant or that it's his kid, the military guy kind of forced, you know, some of the people back on the ship. And it was really a difficult scene. It was great TV, very good dramatic tension on that show. And they did some other stuff. There have been some aliens finally got some aliens.
What were the big names that are on that show? Blue Diamond Phillips?
He is on the show, but he's got a actually pretty minor character.
Oh.
The guy who, you're going to have to look it up. I'm blanking on his name. Look up Dr. Rush on Stargate Universe. You'll know him.
All right.
And now I'm going to have to think of something else to talk about. But yeah, so we finally got some aliens, and they are bad. So that's cool, because we needed some bad guys. And then we've got these other aliens that built the star on the planet. We don't know anything about them yet. But it'll be interesting to see where they go with that storyline. What are you looking up? Did you look up Stargate Universe?
Yeah.
You look up Dr. Rush?
Yeah, it doesn't. Oh, Robert Carlyle.
Robert Carlyle, right. So he's really the only, other than Lou Diamond Phillips, he's really the only big name.
Yeah.
That's on the show, you know, from week to week. But yeah, great, couple of great episodes so far this season. So it's been really exciting. And that's pretty much it. You have anything else?
Nope.
Well, as always, thanks for tuning in and thanks for sticking with us. And as we said earlier in the show, we're going to try to get back to
a
normal schedule
now. Yeah.
So
it's
thanks
good
for
to be regular.
Around. It is good to be regular. As my father used to tell me all the time, as he would hand me lettuce and fennel. I don't really still understand
wow.
that, but yeah, I'm not going to talk about that anymore. Okay. So don't forget to visit us on Facebook, go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review and a rating, and keep those emails coming to podcast@pause.com, and we will see you next week.
Bye.